Hey, Arcaders, it's Uberd527 here once again for Pokemon Rewind Podcast. This is the podcast where we're going through the Pokemon anime episode by episode. We pick a random story arc and then we go through those episodes in that specific story arc. The story arc we are currently in is called the Orange Island story arc, and we're in the 14th episode of that story arc, and very, very excited to get into this episode. But before we do, our next episode that we're going to be doing, called Meowth Rules, which we'll talk a little bit more about near the end of the episode, it really features heavily Team Rocket. And because of this, I want to do a little discussion about Team Rocket. And I want to know why Team Rocket is so popular. So, I want you out there who are listening to this podcast to find somewhere where you can communicate with us, either here on the site, thearcadearchives.com. If you're on the site, there should be a word bubble right above the post. Just click that and you'll be able to comment. Or if you clicked on the post, there should be a little box at the very bottom. You can also reply as well. If you're listening to this on YouTube, make sure you comment as well. If you're listening to this on iTunes, you can also go to Twitter at Arcade A Network or at Tails FT Game Grid. Either one of those, leave your comments about Team Rocket. We want to know why Team Rocket is so popular, why people like Team Rocket. And we're going to discuss that in our next episode. Now, as you notice, I'm actually solo today. I'm actually just by myself today. But I think still that this is a pretty cool episode to go through. And it's another pretty quick kind of throwaway episode, but I think you guys will enjoy this. So let's get into the facts for this episode. This is the 95th episode of the Pokemon anime. It broadcast in the U.S. on March 25th, 2000. Now, just some other fun facts about the episode specifically. This is one of the very few episodes where James's victory bell doesn't bite him on the head. It actually bites Meowth this time around, not actually James. And I didn't really actually notice that until I started looking up the fun facts for this episode. And it's very it's very weird, but you know, it's a nice little change, I think. This episode also harkens back to the old classic cartoon Scooby-Doo. Now, I'm sure most of you have probably grown to watch Scooby-Doo. I know you've probably seen Scooby-Doo, probably both the new and the old, but if you've seen any kind of Scooby-Doo cartoon ever, this has very similar gags to that. There's a lot of homages. Well, I don't know if they were intentional homages, but there are definitely some homages to Scooby-Doo in this episode, so we'll go through those as we're actually going through the episode. Now, let's talk a little bit about our two featured Pokemon for this episode. And the two featured Pokemon are Haunter and Gastly. So let's pull out the Pokedex and find out what it says about Gastly and Haunter.
Gastly, the Gas Pokemon. Some researchers believe this Pokemon is a multi-dimensional being. Haunter, the Gas Pokemon. After evolving from Gastly, this Haunter can learn the Dream Eater and Psychic attacks.
Alright, now we'll start with Gastly. Gastly is a ghost poison type, and it evolves to Haunter at level 25. And Gastly's average height is about 4'3", and it weighs almost nothing, really, 0.2 pounds. Its design seems to be based on general cartoonish versions of ghosts and spirits, and also kind of a little bit of a Will-O-Wisp, which is actually kind of funny because that's actually an attack as well. I think the best example of a Will-O-Wisp, if you ever want a good example of this, is the movie Brave. There are Will-O-Wisps in there as well. You can kind of see where Gastly's design kind of came from. Its poison type is likely reference to poisonous air, polluted air, poisonous gases that kind of culminated into a Pokemon, I guess. So that's where the poison typing kind of came from. Just so you know, a lot of this information came from Bulbapedia. That's generally where I get all my information, really. So any of this information comes from Bulbapedia itself. Go on Bulbapedia, you can also see that as well. And Gastly, in the prototype for Pokemon, in the beta that they had, his name was Spirit. Gastly's typing is the only, he's the only ghost type with that typing. Him and all the Ghastly family, Haunter and Gengar, are the only ghost poison types so far. We'll see in the future, but right now, they're the only ghost poison types. Ghastly, Haunter, and Flabébé are the lightest Pokemon in existence. Flabébé is a new fairy type that was introduced in X and Y, and it is actually one of the lightest Pokemon, including Ghastly and Haunter. Even though they're poison types, Ghastly and Haunter don't learn any poison type moves by leveling up. You have to teach them poison type moves. There's also been a few Pokemon giveaways where you actually got Ghastly, a Haunter, or a Gengar with special attacks that were poison attacks. I remember I have one with Sludge Wave, which is not a move that Gengar can learn on his own. And Ghastly is tied with Venipede for the lowest HP of all poison types. So that's pretty much Ghastly. Now let's talk a little bit about Haunter. Now Haunter evolves again to Gengar when it's traded. It's one of the very few Pokemon that you have to trade to actually evolve it. Pokemon like Kadabra evolves into Alakazam. Girder evolves into Cronkeldurr when you trade it. So these are very few and far between, but there are some Pokemon, and I think these Pokemon evolve like that because they're trying to really emphasize trading in the game. They want you to trade Pokemon, and so that's why these Pokemon can only be evolved through trading, is because they want you to trade. They want you to give you a reason to trade, and I think it's actually a pretty good idea. Haunter is about 5'3" and weighs pretty much the same as Ghastly, 0.2 pounds. Now, just so you know, both Ghastly and Haunter and Gengar are weak to Ghost, Psychic, and Dark types. Ghost are weak against them, their own moves. They're also weak against Dark and Psychic types, which is actually kind of weird because if you've seen the Pokemon anime before, there's an episode where Ash has to try to beat Sabrina, the Psychic gym leader, and he's told to go to Lavender Town and get a ghost Pokemon because ghost Pokemon are strong against psychic types. And that's actually not true, specifically since Ghastly, Haunter, and Gengar are poison types, which means they are actually weak to psychic moves. Maybe that was a plan all along. Maybe that's ghost types were actually supposed to be strong to psychic types. I know in the original game, psychic types kind of dominated the game. They were very, very overpowered, a lot of them, especially Mewtwo. So if you had a psychic type on your team, you pretty much were guaranteed victory, because especially if you had psychic, the move could really, really decimate a whole team just with that move alone. Ghastly, Haunter, and Gengar are all resistant to poison, bug, grass, and fairy types. So fairy types are kind of the new, almost overpowered Pokemon, but they're not as overpowered as some Pokemon have been in generations past, psychic types being the first, and then dragon types being dominant for most of the rest of the generations till now. Fairies are kind of now become the more dominant species of Pokemon, but a lot of Pokemon have that poison typing, and a lot of Pokemon can learn poison moves, which is what a lot of fairy types are weak to. So having a poison type in your team is not a bad idea. They're immune to normal, fighting, and ground types. So even from the original games, you couldn't use normal moves on ghost types. Ghosts can't use ghost type moves on normal types. So it's kind of, they kind of cancel each other out a little bit. There are some moves that can cancel this out, such as, I believe it's called Odor Sleuth. That's one of them that can actually cancel this out. For the most part, that's what you're going to do. Fighting, of course, unless you have some Pokemon have a special ability. For example, Lopunny, when it Mega Evolves to Mega Lopunny, has the ability to actually hit ghost types with its fighting type moves. So that's a good trade-off. And of course, ground types, because most of the Gengar, Haunter, and Ghastly line have Levitate as a special ability, which means they can't get hit by any ground type moves. One other fact about this episode takes place on an island called Moro Island. M-O-R-O, Moro Island. And so I looked up some information. Now, as you know, since this is called the Orange Islands, each of the islands is actually based off of a type of orange or something in the citrus family. Last week we were at Grapefruit Island. We've had Orange Island. We've had Mandarin Island. We've had all kinds of different names for oranges, and I was wondering what the word Moro meant. Moro, as far as my research found, is a type of blood orange. Blood oranges are called that because on the inside of the orange, they're actually red. Outside, it's orange, just like a usual orange is, but inside, it's very, very red. And this is actually, this type of blood orange is actually one of the more colorful oranges as well. And it's originated in the Italy, Italian area, and then kind of made its way to America. And most of the Moro oranges are grown here in America, specifically in Texas and California. So in case you ever wanted to know about these Moro oranges, now you know. Moro is a different type of orange called a blood orange. So there you go. All right. All right, now that's all the fun facts for this episode, so let's get into the episode. And to remind you, this episode is called
A Ship Full of Shivers!
A Ship Full of Shivers. Say that three times fast. All right, let's get into this episode. Here we go. So we start off, as our usual episode, every episode starts off the same way, where our heroes, Ash and company, are riding on Lapras to their next destination. Now this time around, Ash is kind of admiring his badges. He's kind of looking at them, he's kind of admiring them, I guess he's kind of showing off a little bit. And everyone's kind of admiring his badges with them. They're kind of excited about these two badges. And Ash kind of wonders, well, how many more badges do I have left? I think this was specifically made to let the audience know, because the audience probably didn't know how long this was going to go, because again, the Orange Islands is not part of the video game series. They're not in the video games at all, although some of the one of the video games actually has reference to the Orange Islands, kind of. But for the most part, there is no Orange Island in the video game version of Pokemon. So that's why I'm sure that they brought this up in this episode, is to kind of let people know, well, how many more badges does he need? Does he need the full 8 like he has before? No, as we find out that he needs only 4, so he only needs 2 more badges in which to get into the Orange Island League. So Ash, of course, is like, yeah, this is going to be easy. I'm going to totally win these badges. They're going to be awesome, and I'm going to beat them all. And then, of course, Tracy and Misty are kind of like the voices of reason and go, you know what, they may be a little bit harder than you think, Ash. You should probably calm it down a little bit. And then Ash is like, well, yeah, but I'm a totally different trainer than I used to be. I can totally beat everybody. I can go, man. I can go the distance. I'm starting to think of Hercules for a second. Sorry about that. Anyways, so as Ash is saying that, he looks in the distance and, of course, sees Moro Island. And asks Tracy what island that is. And, of course, Tracy tells us this is Moro Island. And so they all decide to go to a Pokemon Center. And by all, I mean Ash decides to go to a Pokemon Center to stay for the night. And so we get into our nighttime scene where they're at the Pokemon Center, and it's nighttime, obviously, now. And it seems that Ash is calling Professor Oak, kind of tell him, you know, anytime he lands on an island, it seems like Ash has to call Professor Oak. I don't know why he's not calling his mom, but he's calling Professor Oak. So he tells Oak that they're on Moro Island, and Professor Oak says, well, you've come at the right time, because look at this. And he pulls out a newspaper, and everyone sees this article about a 300-year-old Pokemon Orange Island League trophy that had been found off the coast of Moro Island in a sunken ship. And they were displaying said trophy in the art museum that is on that island. So, of course, this being the plot point of the episode, Ash and company decide, hey, let's go see this trophy. Let's go see this 300-year-old trophy. I don't know, maybe to get inspired to win the rest of the Orange Islands. I'm not really sure, but they all decide to go do it in the morning, so they were going to go get some rest. Meanwhile, we see the art museum at night, and we see that the roof kind of opens up, and of course, who comes out of the roof but T. Team Rocket. That's right. Team Rocket is trying to get into the museum. And we're not exactly sure what happens, but James falls off the rope, followed by Jesse, who lands on top of him. And then Meowth kind of just jumps off of Jesse's leg and then lands on his feet, you know, because he's a cat and cats can actually do that. So, and then we get into one of our Scooby-Doo gags that I talked about a little bit earlier. It's called the shush gag. So Meowth shushes Jesse, and then Jesse turns around and shushes James, and then James turns around and shushes a tiki pole that's right behind all of them, which is kind of a throwback gag to Scooby-Doo, where Scooby usually does that. They usually kind of shush each other, and then Scooby, like, shushes the monster that they're being chased by or something like that. But I think it's kind of a throwback to that kind of episode. So anyways, we get to find out why Team Rocket is here, and of course, why are they here? They're here to steal the trophy. And they're all very kind of pumped and excited about it. Meowth has a guidebook to kind of tell them where they are. And then James kind of speaks up and says, hey, I'm very excited about this. Once we get this trophy, we'll be famous. We'll be like famous robbers. I might even get my own TV show, Breaking Fourth Wall. And then Meowth kind of baps James over the head with a wooden mallet and kind of knocks him over and then lands on his head and says, listen, if we get on the TV, then they're going to know that we stole the trophy, dude. This is not cool. And he's like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. And then Meowth says, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to give this trophy to the boss, and maybe he'll be a little bit nicer to us, and maybe he'll even give us a raise. And then, of course, that gets Jesse and James all excited with stars in their eyes. They're all excited about this raise. So they go walking off into the museum trying to find this trophy. Now, they actually find the trophy, and Meowth kind of confirms that this is the correct thing that they're looking for. And so he decides to try to steal it. Now, Jesse and James are already ready to jump, pounce on this thing. But Meowth is kind of the voice of reason and kind of just pushes everyone back and kind of pulls out these really cool glasses that kind of show the laser grid that's protecting the trophy glass case. And so from that, Meowth kind of comes up with a plan on how to get to the trophy. And he notices that there are not very many lasers near the roof. So somehow they make a rappel for James to go down and pick up the trophy. And it seems that James is not very thrilled with this whole fact that he has to be the one who's propelled down to get the trophy. And he starts kind of complaining about it. Meowth kind of scolds him for complaining. Meowth is very vocal in this episode. He's a very vocal Pokemon in this episode. And so it kind of snaps. They kind of lose their grip on the rope. And it makes James almost fall. And this kind of snaps James back into reality and goes, okay, well, let's just get this. So they bring him down and he grabs the trophy out of the case with no problems, and then they sneak out very easily, very, very easily through the roof of the museum and run off with the trophy. Now, as they're running off, they're all very excited about this, and they're all very excited about getting this trophy, and then James trips on a rock and actually falls on his face. Now, of course, Meowth is very angry because, you know, what if he would have broke the trophy, but James turns back around, and the trophy's fine. But this leaves an imprint of James holding the trophy in the sand, which is a plot point. So Jesse and Meowth kind of grab James, and they pull him off, and then we get a little close-up of the imprint. Now, the next morning, Ash and friends go to the museum to try to see this trophy, and they see a huge crowd right in front of the museum, along with cop cars. So they're all kind of wondering what's going on, what's happened. So they run up and they find an Officer Jenny, and of course Misty speaks up and is like, oh, well, what's going on? Why is there so many people here? And Jenny's like, well, we've just been, our museum was robbed last night. We're not exactly sure what happened, but we're very sure that they got in somehow, they stole the trophy, and they ran out. And the only clue we really have is this imprint in the sand with some person holding the trophy, which is absolutely hilarious because this is literally telling our heroes who did it, and they are just oblivious to the whole fact. Also, wouldn't that imprint on the sand not stay there that long? I don't know. I mean, I guess if you really think about it, like raccoons and deers, if they leave an imprint in the sand, sometimes you can wake up in the morning and see their footprints all over the place if you've ever gone camping before. I've seen that happen before. So I guess it's not too terribly out there to think of, but still, in some way, it's kind of weird. Also, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know why I was thinking this, but I had this just alternate scene in my head of, like, maybe the beginning of CSI. Like, some guy with, like, glasses come up and go, well, that is a very imprinted whatever. And then he just pulls the glasses. Then we go, wow! And then we get the beginning of CSI. I don't know why I thought of that, but I just thought that was pretty funny, and I might as well throw it in there. So if you thought that was funny, let me know. Anyways, so of course Ash and the rest decide to walk off, and they're kind of disappointed because they really, really wanted to see the trophy, and they all kind of agree about it. They're all kind of bummed, but what can they do? Somebody stole it. They're not really sure. And as they're walking, Ash kind of trips over a leg, and obviously we can tell whose leg that is. It's James's leg, and James, Jesse, and Meowth kind of wake up. Now, one of the things that I forgot to mention is that they were very excited about doing a very successful heist and not being, you know, I guess, spoiled by, you know, Ash and company, that they decided to go and actually celebrate this by having an all-night eat-a-thon. Now, whether this is actually true to the actual Japanese version of the episode, I'm not sure. Again, I don't watch the Japanese because I don't speak Japanese, but it would be interesting to know. So if you know out there, please let me know by commenting below. So James, Jesse, and Meowth all wake up, and they're kind of laying in the bushes for some reason. Now, how they got to these bushes, I don't know. I don't know how they got to these bushes. I don't know how they ate so much. Did they eat so much that they fell into a food coma before they even got to wherever they were staying at? And they just kind of fell into the bushes? Maybe they're not staying anywhere. They're poor, so maybe they don't have anything to anywhere to go. So they're just like, well, let's just lay here in the bushes. So, I don't know. Maybe they're just homeless. I don't know, but somehow they're there, and they kind of wake up, and they're all excited, and they're very happy about, you know, having this eat-a-thon, the wonderful celebration that they had that night, and they ate so much, they kind of passed out, and so then Meowth kind of lets the cat out of the bag, if you will, and says, oh, this is what a good, this was a just a wonderful celebration after a good heist. It's at that moment that Misty goes, heist? And then they all kind of realize that Misty, Ash, and Tracy are kind of standing right above them and kind of heard their little conversation. And, of course, they try to deny the fact that they had stolen the trophy, but they are so bad at lying that, of course, it's not hard to realize who actually stole the trophy. Now, Misty, of course, is like, yeah, we should have known it was you guys. Of course it'd be you, because you're always following us around, trying to steal Ash's Pikachu and stealing the trophy. That's not actually what Misty says. I'm just kind of paraphrasing a little bit. So, at this moment, you know, it's, of course, Jesse and James's turn to do the motto. But the motto is then interrupted by Meowth, who's like, we've got to get this trophy away from here. Let's leave. And so they leave, and, of course, Ash and company follow after. And as they're running down these stairs, Jesse and James kind of finish their motto. Like, of course, if Ash and company is actually listening to this, I think they're kind of just doing it for the home audience. They're not even really doing it for the other guys. They're just doing it for us, the audience. Now, after the motto is complete, Meowth does his usual, yeah, that's right, and then kind of gets angry at the two of them for trying to do the motto. So then he shoves the trophy and then kicks James to get moving, and they come up to a boat that is shaped like Seadra. They get into the boat, and then they notice that it's a paddle boat. So they have to paddle to get out of there, which I don't understand why they're complaining, because their submarine is a paddle submarine. So I don't understand why They complain about it, but they complain about it nonetheless. And so Ash and company kind of catch up to him, and then Ash throws out Lapras, and of course they all jump on Lapras and go surfing after Team Rocket. Poor Lapras. So as they're getting out to past the shore here, James starts complaining about how they're going too slow and that Ash and company will catch them. And Meowth kind of yells back that they need to stop talking and just start pedaling. Now, as they do, they get pushed in by a current, and then they get pulled into this very thick fog that just comes out of nowhere. Now, Ash and company get pulled into the fog as well, and they can't find Team Rocket. So Team Rocket has got a little head start on them. So then Team Rocket sees a giant ship in front of them, kind of an old-timey pirate-looking ship. And they decide to get onto the ship for two reasons. First, it's a nice hideaway. Second, there may be treasure on board, so they're not really sure. So they get onto the boat, they look around, and they're actually kind of happy about their luck. They're very excited about, oh, look at this. We found somewhere to hide out. Luck is smiling on us. And then James is like, yeah, the only kind of ships you see like this are haunted ships. And then everyone kind of realizes that they're on a ghost ship that is possibly haunted, so they get a little scared. And before they know it, there's a giant white sheet that appears right in front of them and kind of scares them off. And they, as they're running, they fall into a hole that I guess one of the weak floor planks on the ship kind of opens up and kind of swallows them into the bottom of the ship. And then that's all we see for Team Rocket for now. Of course, we see a little bit of close-up of the white sheet that we see is a ghost, and then we get back to Ash and Company. Now, Ash and Company are trying to find Team Rocket, and at this point, they kind of decide, well, I guess we should probably go back until Tracy sees the giant ship also. And they kind of pull up to the ship, and that's when Tracy's like, well, I guess this is a haunted ship. And then Ash says one really weird thing, and I don't know why they put this quote in the show. He says, what, by ghosts? And I'm like, I sat there, I'm like, yeah, Ash, what else would be haunting that? What else would be haunting a haunted ghost ship? I don't understand. So I thought it was kind of a weird kind of line that they put in there. And of course, Misty is like, well, I really don't like ghosts. And then Ash and them spot the paddle boat which Team Rocket was using. And then, much to Misty's dismay, they all decide that they need to get onto the ship so they can catch Team Rocket and get that trophy back. And so they all decide to get onto that ship. So while they're on the ship, they kind of start looking around. They don't know where to find Team Rocket. They're kind of scared, a little scared about being on the ship in general. And then you see another white sheet appear. Misty kind of sees something, but not really. She doesn't really see anything ahead of her. And then she kind of says the same thing that you would say in any horror movie or anything that involves ghosts in it. And of course she has, well, I think we're being watched. And Ash is like, you know, I'm getting kind of a weird feeling myself. And then one of the masts from the ship actually breaks and falls, which almost hits Misty, who rolls to get out of the way and drops Togepi. Now Togepi rolls down to the hole where Team Rocket had fell down, and Pikachu tries to save Togepi and just barely misses, just barely gets to Togepi before he falls down the hole. Now, of course, now that means that Ash and company have to go after Togepi, who is now lost inside this ship. So they're going around, they're trying to find Togepi, they're calling out Togepi's name, which is Togepi. He doesn't have a nickname. So they're trying to find out where it went. And they're looking at different rooms and just seeing old stuff all over the place. And then we get a shot of Togepi, who kind of like wakes up. And Togepi's really just oblivious to everything that's going on around it. And so he's just happy. He's in like a little haunted house. He's like a kid in a candy store now. He's just kind of running around this old ship. And he almost falls down another hole, but then sees like an open door and decides to go in it. Now, meanwhile, Team Rocket is kind of walking around the ship, and they're trying to find a way out to go back up to the to where they left. And they're not really sure exactly how to get up there. Now, somebody taps Jesse on the shoulder, and Jesse thinks it's James, so she somehow pulls out a hammer and whacks him upside the head. But James lets Jesse know, hey, listen, I've got this trophy, and I don't have any free hands right now. And of course, Meowth chimes in and said, yeah, and I'm too short to reach up to your shoulder. And then she's like, well, then what was tapping me? And she turns around, and of course, there's a ghost, or there is something with a white sheet over it. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But so they get scared, they start running off in another direction, and then another white sheet appears in front of them. And the white sheet in front of them grabs the package that James has, kind of choking James because it's around his neck. So the ghost is pulling on James, and Jesse and Meowth are trying to pull James back toward them. And so then one of the ghosts licks both Jesse and Meowth, paralyzing them, because if you're any Pokemon fan, you know the move Lick has a chance to paralyze. And then, of course, the other ghost kind of knocks out James and then grabs the box and flies off. Now, Meowth kind of, like, come back, and then just kind of falls down paralyzed. So then we get the ghost, and they've brought the package back to this room. They start flying around, and the room is exactly where Togepi is. So, meanwhile, our heroes are trying to find Togepi, so Tracy decides to pull out Meryl. Now, if you're any fan of Pokemon, you know that Meryl has a good sense of hearing, so he can hear very, very well. So he knows exactly where Togepi is, and then shows the rest of them where it is. So they go into this room, and they see this big, dark shadow that's on the wall, and it scares Misty to death. And then she kind of realizes as she looks up, oh no, it's not a ghost, it's Togepi's shadow. And, Ash is like, well, it did look kind of scary. Misty goes to get Togepi, and then you see the two sheets, which are now flying around Togepi. Now, Misty gets angry and then pulls out Staryu to attack both the two sheets that are around Togepi. And as Staryu's flying around, he pulls off the sheets. And then, of course, who do we have but Gastly and Haunter? And of course, Ash goes ahead and scans both of them. And unlike the last time he met a Gastly and Haunter, this time our Pokedex actually reads and tells Ash what these Pokemon are. Now, I want to take a quick aside and say, these are ghost Pokemon, okay? They're already a little bit, not completely, but they're already a little bit frightening on their own. Why did they need to cover their faces with sheets? Why was this a secret? Why did you need to leave the fact that this was Gastly and Haunter alone? I really even think kids watching this will know right away this is Gastly and Haunter, because there are not very many ghost Pokemon, and especially back then, there were only three. There were Gastly, there were Haunter, and Gengar. That's all the ghost Pokemon there were. And so it doesn't really make sense that these two would be wearing sheets over their head, because they're already ghosts. I guess we could go back to this whole Scooby-Doo thing where we unmask the villain and it's like Old Man McGucket or whatever, but it just doesn't make sense by a story point, especially in this history of Pokemon, since there's only two ghost-type Pokemon. Three. There's only three ghost-type Pokemon at this point. It just doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, whatever. Just move on. It's a cartoon, so let's just move on from here. So, of course, he scans the two of them, and they're kind of wondering why this Gastly and this Haunter are here. And they're also kind of afraid because Haunter starts going towards Togepi. Ash pulls out his Bulbasaur to do Vine Whip, but Bulbasaur stops his Vine Whip. Then they all notice that these ghosts aren't trying to scare Togepi or attack Togepi in any way. They're actually trying to play with it. They're playing peekaboo, and they're doing all kinds of, you know, usual baby games that you would do with any kind of baby. So they're just kind of having fun playing with Togepi. Now, as they're talking about it and kind of wondering where are these ghosts here, they look over and see the trophy, which is sitting on the desk. So they try to go towards it, and then Gastly and Honda kind of jump up and kind of protect the trophy. Now, Ash and company are like, well, we need that trophy back. That trophy was stolen. And then Team Rocket go, you know, if anyone's going to steal it back, that's going to be us. And so, of course, cue the Pokemon battle music. We get Victory Bell, who instead of going after James, this time goes after Meowth. And then, of course, Jesse pulls out Arbok. Now, after Meowth kicks Victory Bell into attacking, finally, they go after Gastly and Haunter. Misty grabs Togepi, and they all kind of get out of the way so that way they can battle. Victory Bell does Razor Leaf, and Gastly kind of disappears for a little bit so that the Razor Leaf doesn't actually hit him, which is weird. I guess that could be counted as Protect, which technically doesn't exist yet, I think. So, I don't know. These are old Pokemon, so maybe they already know moves that they are supposed to know before. I don't know. Just to go with it. And then, of course, Jesse tells Arbok to go after Haunter, who again then disappears and can't be attacked by Arbok. Now, the two of them try to attack back, and then, of course, Gastly does Nightshade, which is one of the very few ghost-type attacks at this point in Pokemon's history. Then, of course, Gengar does Confuse Ray to Arbok, who then confuses Arbok and makes him attack Jesse, James, and Meowth, and goes after them. So then that kind of foils Team Rocket for right now. So then Gastly and Haunter go over to where Meowth is, and they grab Meowth. And then Meowth starts talking really weird, and they're kind of wondering why. And then Tracy's like, oh, I think they're using Meowth as a translator. So they're kind of using Meowth as kind of a psychic translator since Meowth knows English. So the now hypnotized Meowth tells the gang that this is Gastly and Haunter, and they're here protecting this trophy because of their master who owned the trophy And they tell about how their master was the sailor who went around the Orange Islands kind of shipping goods and whatnot. And he was like a Pokemon trainer that was a really good one. And, you know, that Gastly and Haunter were kind of his prized Pokemon, that kind of the Pokemon he loved the most out of all the Pokemon he had. And then they tell about how that one day they sank due to a fearsome storm that they couldn't get out of. And the ship sank to the bottom of the sea. Presumably everybody on board died. And then, of course, that left the trophy underwater. Now, here's my question. This happened about 300 years ago. So how in the world do Gastly and Haunter pop out of modern Pokeballs? If you look right next to the trophy, those Pokeballs are modern. Those are Pokeballs that they have, that they use today. So, did Gastly and Haunter kind of leave the ship for a little bit and come back? And like, well, these Pokeballs are ours now. We're just going to sleep in here. Or I don't know. But it's kind of weird that they would have these modern Pokeballs when, specifically, they have shown previously that they had different types of Pokeballs in the past. I don't know. We're just going to skip it, and we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about what happens next. So, of course, the humans come, and they get the trophy, which kind of knocks the Pokeballs off, and then wakes up Haunter and Gastly, and then they raise the ship out of the sea, and they were setting sail back to Morrow Island to try to get that trophy back. And they're all kind of very kind of like, well, this is kind of cool. And Ash kind of wonders what kind of Pokemon trainer their master actually is. And so they speak up and say, well, if you want to see for yourself. And so they do a flashback of them in a Pokemon stadium, in the old Orange Island League Pokemon stadium. And Ash and company gets an actual look at how their master fought. And gets to see like a quick battle with Gastly and versus Beedrill. Which again, Gastly uses Nightshade and knocks out Beedrill, and it's just kind of a cool little quick battle that's in the middle of that. Oh, sorry, he uses Lick, not Nightshade, sorry about that. He uses Lick, and then he uses Nightshade. So, I'm sorry about that. Well, anyways, so then, of course, the captain is like, yeah, I'm, like, the best ever, and who's going to challenge me next for this trophy? You, or you? And he points to Ash, and Ash is like, yeah, let's do this. Let's battle, man. Let's do this. And then that's when everything kind of fades back to where they regularly are, and they kind of realize that this was all kind of a psychic image or whatever you want to call it, hologram or whatever. Anyways, so then, of course, Ghastly and Haunter kind of say, you know, this is why we want to keep this trophy. This is our master's. We don't want anyone else taking it. And Ash and company is like, yeah, we kind of get that. All right, we'll leave you alone then. And that's then they're like, okay, great. Thank you very much. Now go. Get out of here. Leave now. So they let Meowth go, and Meowth kind of wakes up from his trance and then tries to get Jesse and James back up to try to steal back the trophy. And they try to attack, and of course, Ash tells Pikachu to do a Thunderbolt, and Pikachu does Thunderbolt, and then knocks the group in, and then Haunter does Psychic and knocks Team Rocket, and they blast off again, and then we don't see them for the rest of the episode. And the last part is we see the ship being raised by Ghastly and Haunter, kind of flying off in the distance, very Peter Pan-ish, if you will. They kind of wonder where they're off to, and they're like, well, they're probably just trying to take the ship away from anyone that can ever find it ever. And that's pretty much the end of the episode. That's it. That's all we got. So this episode was a pretty short episode story-wise, in my opinion. But let's go over the pros and cons for this episode. So pro for this episode, it's not the usual format, which I kind of enjoyed about this. It wasn't the usual Ash finds Pokemon, Team Rocket tries to steal said Pokemon, and then they get blasted off by said Pokemon. Okay, kind of in a way it is, now that I really actually think about it. But it doesn't start off that way. It actually starts off as an actual story that kind of presents itself. This is another one of those episodes that I kind of wish they were to elaborate on more a little bit, that it wasn't just a quick throwaway episode. But it tells a pretty decent story for what it is. So I'm not really angry about the fact that this was a short episode. This was a short 30-minute episode, but it was kind of a fun episode. It was kind of an interesting, different take on the usual format, I guess, if I want to correct myself from earlier. So it's kind of a fun episode. There's really no character development. There's really no story development. I really think it's the story is just there to get Ash pumped and excited to continue on the Orange Island story arc. Maybe even get to the audience excited about this. I don't know. I can't tell you. I'm not sure. But it's not a terrible episode by any means at all. I just kind of wish there was more. I just kind of wish there was more to it. It feels more like just an afterthought than an actual part of this whole series. So, again, I guess I kind of did my pros and cons all at the same time. So it's a fun episode. Watch it if you like. It's not really important to the story as a whole. Ash getting his gym badges and getting into Orange Islands. That's our story. That's the story that we need to stick to. It's okay to go off a little bit, but really, you need to remind the audience that this is where we're going to. This is the goal we're getting to. And this whole episode with this Orange Island trophy didn't really serve any purpose to the story as a whole. So I think that's really the only reason I can say that I had a problem with it, is because of that fact. Otherwise, it was a fine episode. No problems here. I didn't even hate Team Rocket in it. So, alright, that's pretty much the episode. So, once again, I wanted to remind you guys that next week's episode, which is entitled Meowth Rules, we're going to have a little bit of a discussion about Team Rocket and what makes Team Rocket so popular. Why is Team Rocket such characters that people love a lot. There are a lot of people who out dressed like Team Rocket, and a lot of people who cosplay as Team Rocket, and a lot of people who just love these characters so very much. But I want to know why. Why is that? So please leave your answers in the comments below. If you're listening to this on YouTube or on the site itself, make sure you comment and let us know. Also, you can find us on Twitter at Arcade A Network or at Tails FT Game Grid. Again, that's at Arcade A Network or at Tails FT Game Grid. You can also find us on Instagram at The Arcade Archives Network. At The Arcade Archives Network. You can find us on there, and you can also comment on the Team Rocket photo that I posted just recently. So please let us know so that way we can have some comments to talk about in our next episode. Danny the Ultrasonic Player will be joining me, and we'll be talking a little bit more about this. Now, the episode, Meowth Rules, let's give a little summary of what this is going to be about. So after trying to catch Pikachu for the 1,000,000th time, and they're very unsuccessful again, Meowth gets blasted off into an island that worships Meowth. And worships Meowth as in the Pokemon, and kind of Meowth kind of finds his kind of happiness there. So, is this island gonna break up Team Rocket finally? We don't know. Well, if you've watched this episode before, you already know. But if you haven't, well, you'll have to find out next week when we talk about it, okay? Now, remember, you can watch these episodes on YouTube. You can get them on some episodes on Netflix. And you can also watch this on the free Pokemon app as well. But probably YouTube is probably your best bet. Also, you can buy this on DVD as well. It's pretty cheap. It's only like $20 for the entire Orange Island story arc. In case you want to catch up with us, okay? So, again, thank you so much for listening to Pokemon Rewind Podcast. It is because of you guys that we were able to turn this into its own separate podcast now. And it's because of you that I continue to do this, guys. I really, really enjoy this. So please let me know how I'm doing by going to iTunes and giving us a review. I don't care how many stars you give us. Just make sure you give us a review and let us know what you think. So thank you again so much, guys, for joining us. Thank you for listening. And best wishes to all of you out there. And now I leave you with a clip from Meowth Rules.
Oh? Are you in any way displeased, oh great Meowth?
How come I ain't got any meatballs up here?
Oh, forgive me. Bring some meatballs.
I only need about 100. Well, this ought to do for a start. Ah, whisker licking good.
Do you wish something, oh Meowth of Bounty?
I could go for some entertainment.
Your wish is my command. Bring on the dancers!
We welcome you, oh great Meowth of Bounty.
Oh!
Ah. Are you entertained, oh Meowth of Bounty?
Oh, yeah!
Thank you for listening to this Arcade Archives Network podcast. If you like this, please go to iTunes and write a review. You can also comment on thearcadearchives.com. Again, that's thearcadearchives.com. You can also go over to our other website, zowiekerpowie.com. Again, zowiekerpowie.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at TailsFTGameGrid. Again, at TailsFTGameGrid. Thank you again so much for joining us here for this Arcade Archives Network podcast, and keep playing like it's 1981.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.